usually start by saying salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ooh, I love that. So this is episode. This is a bonus episode. Okay. So I have Sarah here today.
Hi guys.
We met not that long ago, like 2-3 months back.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, through a mutual friend.
Yeah, and then you invited me on your podcast, and we've been saying we have to have you on.
Absolute.
And here you are. But I have referenced you on my podcast before.
Oh, no way.
I have, because I...
Have you not told me this until this very moment? Is that calling me out? Tell me.
No, I have. I've said either my friend Sarah or when I was on Sarah's podcast, like I have...
Same.
So
I did the same.
So this is the Sarah.
This is... Yes. So I've done the same and I've said my friend Layla, this is who I'm referring to. So yeah.
I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, let's ease into it. So we spoke on the phone and we said, what are we going to tackle today?
Because, and then we had like a 3-hour conversation on the phone. Yeah.
Because we go to Kokoro. By the way, Kokoro needs to sponsor me because at this point, genuinely, do you know how many people have messaged me like, I follow them now because of you and I want to go eat there?
Tamid, where are you guys? Yeah.
But so we go there like at least once a week and we sit and we talk life and whatever. So when we said, what are we going to discuss today? Obviously, there were a million and one topics, but I landed on relationships, boundaries. You also wanted to, and you landed on, Bismillah, the Madonna whore complex, right? Yes. That was something you wanted to tackle. And then there was something else you said, Habibi, what was it?
I think women's...
Men who are coddled by their mothers.
Yes.
And they're basically taught to never have to answer to anyone or anything. And how that trickles down into their adulthood.
Yes. And fun fact, this is probably going to be just the regurgitation of our voice notes and phone calls.
Yeah.
Because it's like literally like, do you remember that time that we said that? So hopefully that won't be the case.
Yeah. But so what do you want to start with? Because they're all great conversations and they're all great topics. But I've noticed, and I'm coming for y'all, whenever we discuss men and women when it comes to relationships, those just number-wise does well. People get engaged because they're either triggered, it's either something, subhanAllah, they just went through, or a question that they had on their mind and they couldn't find an answer to.
There's just a hunger for this type of knowledge.
There is, but it's just, can I be really honest? I'm just kind of sick of having to, if I want to say... men need to do this. People go like, what about the women? I'm like, I get you. If you just scroll through the page, you'll see when we mention women. Mm-hmm. But I'm entirely within my right to just say, we're discussing men right now and their role. And then we're discussing women and their role. But then when I have to add the nuances and, but if he does this, you need to do that.
Just- the problem is, I mean, we've spoken about this on multiple occasions where literally when you take an excerpt or a small, tiny 30-second
clip
from a large, long-formatted video where you really dive into the intricacies of a conversation, you're never going to get the nuance. Never. It's up to the person to course correct and figure out, okay, I know she's speaking about this thing in a very isolated, like vacuous container, but at the end of the day, we can talk about it. But people love to throw out the whataboutism. What about this? What about this guy? And it blows my mind.
I think also take it a step further. Why are you so triggered by this? Mm-hmm. You know, it changes nothing in your life if you just scroll through the clip.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like you can just skip it.
Absolutely.
But to be so triggered and then just venomous and want to leave negative comments is beyond me. I've never, I'll even see like IDF videos, you know what I mean? And I'm not triggered to comment. I'm just like, y'all nasty, but then I keep it moving. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think it comes back to entitlement. I mean, if you're sitting behind a keyboard or by like your phone and you're like, I get to say a comment, it's going to validate my need to like frustrate and see this mirror reflection that's in front of me. Like, I will never understand the same way that you would why people do what they do or why people approach certain conversations.
So, okay. I think let's start
with relationships. Let's break it down. Okay. What do you think out of all of the conversations that we've had regarding relationships, whether it's on your podcast, on mine, when we're at Kokoro having the Sush Magoosh, what is it that they gravitate towards the most? Is it the stereotypical conversations?
You and I?
Yeah, no, the feedback that you get from the podcast, what do people gravitate towards? Is it the fact that you have such a binary way of looking at things, that you believe things should be black and white?
The men, it's very interesting. Yeah, they do believe things should be black and white. It's actually quite interesting. Mm. And they're so convinced in their black and whiteness that if you just come scratch the surface a little bit or poke a little bit too much at their ideology, the defense comes out in like full guns a-blazing, you know? Mm-hmm. But... Actually, one of the things we said we wanted to talk about, and I think we should go into this, because to answer your question, whenever I say, oh, men need to do this for women, women love it. Yeah, bravo, girl, keep going. And whenever I say, men, nah, girls need to do this for you, or you're right, you're within your rights to ask for this or behave this way, the men love it, but then the girls are like, oh, pick me, you know, just that kind of thing.
Yes.
And I've said it before, and we said this on the phone today, I don't care what's between your legs. If you are in the wrong, I'm going to come for you and I'm going to discuss it. And we're going to discuss why you are in the wrong. And that's completely fine. You're not made perfect just because you are a man or a woman. That makes no sense to me. But from our conversations.
Yes.
Because you and I are both single gals.
Yeah. We are the single gals. Yes.
Bismillah. The standards. Because you and I have... I would like to believe we're somewhat self-actualized.
We are self-actualized. We still have more to grow. As always.
You know, I'm trying to let's be humble with
it.
So I'd like to believe that we're somewhat have begun the actual journey of
self-actualization. We are on the path of self-righteousness and actualization.
Alhamdulillah. And we've asked ourselves, like, are our standards too high? Are we being picky? Are we asking for more than we actually deserve? Mm-hmm. And we have those conversations, you know? And what I have truly realized... This is my hot take.
Okay, here we go, guys. Get ready.
This is my hot take, truly. Based on my observation, there are a lot of men out there with really high standards that they haven't earned. And there are a lot of women out there with really high standards that they don't deserve. And I use earned and deserve very specifically. Men need to earn and women need to deserve. Just based on my observation, there's a lot of women out there that have not earned... my point is, there's a lot of women out there that have lived the whole life, that have lived the OnlyFans lifestyle, that, you know, fed into the feminism corruption, and then they come along and they're like, no, I want that alpha male, that 1% of 1% of 1% who's gonna come dote on me and give me everything that I deserve, and he's not gonna have the right to make one comment about my lifestyle and the way I live my life, because if you're my man, you trust me, you know? And then on the other side is you have the men.
Yeah, conversely, that, you know, I want to be with the girl on the streets and all of that stuff, but then they really want to go back into, like, the virginal woman that they want to marry. Exactly.
And also, with all due respect, haven't earned it. And I've said this before, it's not that money makes everything, but you're also walking around like you are the 1% when you're not. And to me, it's not about money, but it's about your ambition, your dedication, your hard work, what you've built for yourself. Because we as women, we've spoken about this on the phone today, that we are career driven in a sense that we work hard and we've built things for ourselves. So I can clearly tell if someone has worked or hasn't. I can tell if someone's ambitious or isn't. So
you said this.
Give me your take.
You said this on my podcast, which I thought was really interesting. You said, my father, from a very young age, made me aware to what I have and what I lack.
Yes.
And I think that when you are a person that is self-actualized or on the journey of self-actualization, you become acutely aware of the fact that, like, yes, I might be deserving of something or I might earn something, such and such and such, but I know my worth based on the evidence, based on the data points that I've gathered. So if I'm a person that really carries myself with integrity and respect and, you know, things of such natures, then the people that I should gravitate towards me should be of that caliber. Yeah. And I've said this on my podcast as well, that, like, you deserve or you earn something purely based on the fact that if you have standards, if you really have standards, you hold yourself to that standard and then you hold your partner to that standard or you hold your friend to that standard. So I think that the way that we've been talking about it, and, like, I think it's wild that we even have to say this, is that the women that come for you or the women that come for me or the people, I'm not even going to say women, people that come for us are people that so quickly and so effortlessly point the finger at you as if you're the problem. I know, like, you didn't do any healing or you didn't go through the work. Yeah. So they'll just be like, yeah, but you're saying this, or, like, you're being really entitled with your commentary, or you're coming from a position where you really think highly of yourself. It's like, Of course I think highly of myself. Of course I feel like I am deserving of X, Y, and Z. But it wasn't an easy road to get there.
Yeah.
I had to self-reflect. Yeah. I had to post-rationalize. I had to take a look at myself. I had to be accountable, which is a sexy buzzword that we love to say. Accountability, everyone, accountability.
Yeah.
But in this case, when people keep coming to you and they keep having conversations with you about this, when do you turn, like, when do you look at that person, or you look at the persons that, that you're speaking to, or the people that are interacting with all of the stuff that you're chatting with online? When do you turn around and you go like, guys, stop pointing the finger at you. Stop pointing the finger at the person that is literally looking through the mirror. What? When does that self-actualization happen?
Wait. I'm not understanding your question. When do I say that again?
When you keep pointing, like, let's just say I'm behind the keyboard and I listen to your video and I say like, no, you're the problem. You don't understand where you're coming from. And okay, I'm going to analyze this.
I understood
this.
Your question properly, I think. Okay, so you're basically talking about me or the person behind the keyboard?
The person behind the keyboard.
Okay, so I had one of, actually a lot of my followers send me this message because there was an episode, I think it was either the last episode or the one before on my podcast, where I talked about taking accountability and we kind of went a little bit in depth in there, you know, where I was saying, when I say take accountability, I mean for everything.
Yes.
No exceptions, you know, especially when it comes to relationships. A lot of people will tell you, no, but he did. No, but she did. And I was like, put that all aside. I know it hurts because I know you feel like you've been done really dirty and really wrong, but just try to put it all aside and take accountability for why it happened, you know? So some people, a lot of people DM'd me and were like, what do you mean by that? Like, how do I start that? And I answered one of my followers. She was a woman, a lovely, lovely lady. And I told her, I'm going to be really honest with you. I mean it exactly how I said it. Take accountability for everything. And I know it's tough. And I know you want to blame the other person. No, but I did everything for them and they still cheated on me. No, I did everything for her and she still betrayed me and just suddenly ghosted me as a friend, you know, or as a girlfriend or whatever it is. And you just put that all aside. I swear, just put your ego aside. It does not matter. It's really not that deep. And it's not that dramatic.
It really is. It really is. And what's interesting, just to comment on what you said.
Go for it.
There's a book that I read a while ago. It's called Why Won't You Apologize? And it basically dissects the process of an apology, the internalization of said apology, and the accountability.
The five languages of apology.
No. It's something different. I know we like to go into the five languages, but it's not that.
Okay.
Part of the book, the first portion of the book, talks about, says one specific rule, which is that if you're going to apologize, you only apologize for your portion in that two-way dynamic.
Yeah.
If I'm having an argument with you, I will only apologize for the portion that I did. I will not apologize for you. I will not make excuses for someone who doesn't make excuses for themselves. I will not position you to fully entrench yourself in victimhood where I take all of the accountability of that situation and circumstance. And I think that when you're talking about this idea of accountability, people feel like when you say that buzzword of like, you have to be accountable for everything, they're like, whoa, wait, what do you mean everything? Do you mean his part? Do you mean my part? You mean Beta Jiran's part? Like, whose part are you referring to? If you do not acknowledge the data points that you've gathered of said argument or disagreement that you've had, you have put yourself in a box where either you are fully villainized or you're fully victimized. It's like, no, I don't want to apologize. It's his fault. It's his situation. Or for me, it's like, no, he's to blame, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't know the accountable part that we've just discussed, where what are you contributing in and what are you internalizing because of that contribution, then accountability is all over the place. So I agree with you in the sense you have to take up accountability for everything, but it has to be of your part solely. Otherwise,
I'm with you. Kids, continue. Otherwise.
Yeah. Otherwise, you bury the burden of someone else's misfortune or someone else's situation.
Okay. So with you, I get what you're saying. But again, you know what? I fully get what you're saying. And a lot of people will view it that way. Okay. So this is where we're going into the nuances and all the little nitty gritties of it. Yeah. My podcast is through an Islamic lens. So there's always a reasoning and a justification and a full circle of why I say what I say.
Absolutely.
Because you taking full responsibility for everything has nothing to do with them. It doesn't mean you're taking any blame off of them or any of their actions away from them. You're not doing any of that. But if you... Here's the thing with what you're saying, though. There's a lot of people out there that will latch onto that, and the victim mentality will feed into that, and they'll think that they're being self-actualized, but they're just feeding their victim mentality of like, no, I took the full blame, but I'm not taking that, you know what I mean? And the victim mentality will still be like, they're still, you know, they messed up. I took accountability, why aren't they?
Exactly.
So that's why I take all of that away, because you kind of have to take the power away from the ego. If you want something to disappear, to die, you starve it.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You have to starve the ego, especially when it comes to relationship is this way. So I don't even want to risk feeding the ego a little crumb. Because mm-hmm. it can latch onto that crumb and turn it into a sandwich. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised.
But how many people are prepared to have an ego death?
So I'm here. Mm-hmm. I say what I say. You take what you want to take and let me know how it works out for you.
I said what I said, okay. But I meant what I meant.
And I meant what I meant. Yes. But with that, it's really important because let's say you and I got into a disagreement, mm-hmm. okay? And you did me hella dirty, mm-hmm. okay? Let's just, for this conversation, I did nothing. Mm-hmm. You did everything, for mm-hmm. example, mm-hmm. okay? But when I... Even then, when I say take full accountability, because I'm like, okay, why did I attract this into my life? Why did I allow it to happen? Why am I feeling this way about it? Why all of these things? If I just take the full blame and I'm just like, you know what, Layla, you're the master of your own life. Allah ma hattak al ard hik habla tayra bis sama mitla risha. You know what I mean? Life doesn't just happen to happen to you. I say this all the time. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't just happen to us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I didn't just happen to be done dirty by Sarah. Like mm-hmm. things... There's a reason we got to where we are now.
Yes.
And it's also a deeper conversation of, okay, have I attracted multiple Sarahs into my life? Is Sarah a version of my mother? Mm-hmm. Is Sarah a version of my father? Mm-hmm. All of these things, you know what I mean? So when I take accountability, number one, I can just take a step back and not take it personally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't have to take it personally anymore.
Yes.
And
no,
to
I agree
me,
with
the
you.
Most important thing is I'm not waiting for the external, you know, what's that word called? Bismillah, there's a word. No, you know when people break up and they need to have that conversation?
Oh, closure.
Closure.
That's why I'm here, guys. Yeah. This is why I'm on this podcast to help.
I'm not waiting for external closure. Mm-hmm. The problem with your side of what you're saying, even though I agree because you can differentiate both, is most people will still be waiting for that closure.
Yes.
And what happens is 9 times out of 10, you don't get it.
Well, you have to give it to yourself.
Exactly.
Literally have to give it to yourself.
But you don't get it from someone else. And what happens is you still carry that weight with you and the next person you attract is mm-hmm. just another deeper, badder, meaner version of Sarah, for example.
Absolutely.
And so that's why I'm very picky on the ego death. That's why I take everything away from someone else and I'm giving it all on you. Mm-hmm. You take accountability. You give yourself closure. You do this, you do that. You don't need a therapist. You don't need the ex-boyfriend to give you closure. You don't need your best friend to apologize. You don't need any of that. You can... كله بينك وبين حالك. Because and this is where the Islam comes in. God put everything in you for yes. you to be able to do that.
And
you
God
can maneuver
in,
this life.
God put anything in front of you, would not put anything in front of you that you couldn't handle.
Yes.
So if you're sitting there in like the depths of feeling low and depressed and you've got all of this stuff going on, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Brother Osama from the Muslim Hub.
I mentioned him on my podcast.
Love a bit.
The poem I did.
But what was really interesting is that we briefly chatted about something and he actually touched base on a recent situation that happened with me when I uploaded something about women and he commented. And he said, he's like, look, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
He commented the ayah, right?
From yes. Quran. But yes. Then we were like elaborating, like we expanded on that. And he just said, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We follow Salat al-Mustaqim.
Yeah.
Like,
Salat al-Mustaqim.
That's what I said.
He said Salat.
No.
Girl, it's okay. Sometimes I make mistakes and my dad's like, Layla.
We're going to cut it in post. We'll cut it in post.
It's okay. We're doing our best. We're doing our best.
Salat al-Mustaqim.
Salat al-Mustaqim.
Guys. And it was very eye-opening because it was just that quick statement. And I was like, oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
So live long and prosper.
I also, Anjad, I really want to go into this because show me where in the Quran or in the Torah or in the Bible.
Which one?
All of the Bibles. Show me where it says when it comes to forgiveness that it comes with these conditions mm-hmm. based on your ego. Mm-hmm. Because forgiveness is, it's either full forgiveness or it's not, right? And when I also talk about, for example, because in Islam, this is a big thing, especially when it comes to betrayal, we handle it very ruthlessly. Mm-hmm. And the Rasul alayhi salatu salam handled it ruthlessly because in the sense that he is the most forgiving, the most loving and all of those beautiful things, mm-hmm. but he was also a man of men.
Of course.
And that means not a pushover, no. Not a simp. Mm-hmm. You tub bi karamti, mm-hmm. or the honor or safety of my women. I'm coming for you. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? So, and then when we posted a video about that, someone had commented about Jesus, for example, but Jesus was the most forgiving. And I really loved what my dad answered. Mm-hmm. He came back and he said, yes, but he didn't linger around his enemies.
Yes.
So, and this is where people really struggle. They think that forgiveness means a pushover and I need to find a million and one excuses to keep you in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't need to. I forgive you dunya wa akhira. عشاني وعشانك. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you distance yourself. You distance yourself. Yeah.
But I'm fully within my right that you no longer serve a purpose in my life.
Absolutely.
And not only that, let's also call things what they are. You have now done enough to cause that you no longer have access to
me. Oh, absolutely. It's always about access because you need to protect your space. But also, I've said this before and I'll say it again. As a person, you need to value yourself and what you give to this world. So
that was my real yesterday.
Well, you
keep
know,
going,
girl.
Sorry, I interrupted
yes,
you.
Yes, you need to value yourself and what you give to this world in the sense that you have time. That's all we have. It's a non-renewable currency. It's yes. a non-renewable resource. So if I'm going to give you my time, you best believe that I'm going to use it wisely.
Yeah.
But also, I know what I bring to the table. So you being friends with me is a privilege into my life because I do not have a lot of people in my inner circle. So when you're coming in, it's a privilege. Yeah. So when you lose sight of your positioning in that two-way dynamic, you no longer have access. You no longer have that privilege of being friends with me. Yeah. And someone might say like, wow, but that's really, you know, like, I don't know, big of you or egocentric of you to say. It's like, if you don't think that about yourself, then you will have as many people coming in, whether it's Tom, Dick, or Harry, whether it's Hamoud, Khaloud, or Aboud, whether it's whoever it is, coming into your life and using the non-renewable resource that you will never get back.
Yeah.
And I think our time is finite, right?
Yeah.
It's going to end.
Of course.
What we do in the dunya is preparing us for the akhirah.
Yeah.
So who are we spending our time with? Who are we surrounding ourselves? Half of the times when we talk about the luxuries of the dunya or the superficial elements, whether it's like parties, whether it's drinking, whether it's all of those different things, what do they say? It's not like cut it off. Stay away from it. Pull yourself away from those things. So it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to like completely indulge in those riches, those dunya riches. But it's this idea of like the one step that you take towards it, you're going to keep taking those micro steps.
Yeah.
And then eventually you'll get to the place where you don't know which way is up.
Yeah.
You've gone so far deep down that rabbit hole, you can't pull yourself out of it.
SubhanAllah, we say the same things. I love it.
It's crazy.
Because I've said, literally the last episode, I said the exact same things because it's true. And then, okay, so this brings us back to when I started and I said the standards. Are our standards too high?
Mm-hmm.
I know that our ability to be able to kind of cut off someone immediately once they've transgressed certain boundaries, because غلط عن غلط بفرق, you know what I mean?
Yes.
There are things where we can definitely have a conversation, and there are things where, no, you knew exactly what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So once we've reached the point of you knew exactly what you were doing, and I am able to cut you off quite easily and with no regret and no fear and no, even, dare I say, sadness in my heart,
mm-hmm.
is because, like you said, we've worked on ourselves and we've done the ego death and the self-reflecting in the mirror, and it was hard.
Oh, yes.
It's very painful, mm-hmm. by the way, to kind of look at yourself and realize everything you've done was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you thought you were was actually just dust in the wind. You mm-hmm. know, it's just a facade, a really thin balloon that you could just pop and it just crumbled all around you, mm-hmm. you know? That was very, very, very hard to do.
Of course.
And once you hit that rock bottom, especially when you hit rock bottom and then find God, there's nowhere but up. And when you're slowly crawling back up with God holding your hand,
mm-hmm.
you really understand the value and the strength and the pain that it took to crawl back up, you know?
Yes.
So then it's very hard to kind of hit rock bottom again.
Yeah.
And if you said this on your video, defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
If I sense that you're now trying to drag me rock bottom again, mm-hmm. defense mechanism comes out real quick, real fast.
It really does.
You know? And then I'm just like, no, you can go.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing is worth rock bottom without God again.
Absolutely.
Nothing.
And I think that when prayer comes into play and you have discipline in your life, it really starts to shape the way that you value and put time and dedication into the people that you surround yourself with. But when we were talking about this, because it's like, oh yeah, you're going to pull me down to rock bottom and see how I can get back up. We talked about elasticity. I've mentioned this before, and I'm not so sure if I said it on my podcast, but everyone has a level of elasticity.
We have spoken about
this. And that elastic band can stretch so far. It's not going to snap, but it stretches, and it has a certain level of stretchiness that it can withstand before it goes back to homeostasis.
Mm.
And I always say that you can use that example with your friends, with your family. You might have friends where the stretch is so stretchy, and that if you let go, it'll come back to homeostasis. But it's like, don't push me. Don't push me over the edge, because the edge is like right up to that length, that limitation mm-hmm. of that elastic band. For family, for example, it's really wide. Like, they can do as much as they can to you, but you're like, but I still love them. They're my family. My brother upset me. So, you know, it's my brother being my brother, whatever. But as time goes on, that elasticity wears off and you no longer have that limitation. So if a friend stretches you too far and it gets too, it starts to go shallow and wide as opposed to narrow and deep, you start to realize like, okay, I actually don't have tolerance for your elasticity anymore. Yeah. And I find the older I get, the less I have. The less tolerance I have.
That's a natural progression. Mm-hmm. My mom will always tell me, especially when I come home after our lunches and I'm like, Sarah and I discussed 1, 2, 3. My mom's like, Allah ya'inkum, y'all are getting older and a lot tougher to impress. Yeah, and I'm just like, we really are. It gets, but because what's the alternative, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not learning and I'm not becoming more secure and more confident in my values and my moral compass and my ethics and where my boundaries lie and what I tolerate and don't tolerate. Mm-hmm. What's the point?
Yes.
What's the point? Because this is, I say it all the time when I see people, you've been on God's good green earth for at least 30 years, 3 decades, and you're repeating the same mistakes. It's Einstein's definition of insanity. Mm-hmm. You have not changed. You're attracting the same people, different mini versions of your mom and dad, if we're being honest, you know? And then your relationships suck and your career is kind of halted. What's the point?
Yes.
No. And it's all, by the way, limitations set by none other than yourself, because I've said this before, but Allah has decreed that anything could be yours. There is nothing that is mustahil for you to achieve. Absolutely. But it is your limitations that puts you in this box, and you are willing to die on that hill because you seem to think that your word and your ego matters more than God's. It baffles me.
It's really interesting that you should say that, because I've had an example recently, and this is how I also feel about like the patriarchy or the Western's definition of the patriarchy. Yeah. I personally understand patriarchy through like an Arab lens or Middle Eastern lens, but I also believe that the patriarchy doesn't exist, and people will come for me for that, because
I've said it before. Let's go.
And the reason why I do this is because there are so many things that I've achieved, and it didn't matter whether I was against men or against women. If I want to get there, I will get there. Hell or high water.
I mean,
but on that front, I remember being in a situation where I had designed something that was really important and really, like it really was going to kind of, I put myself in a situation where I really put my heart and soul into a design.
Okay.
And every step that I took after that, my boss at the time, who just was like, nope, we're not going to put your name. We're not going to validate this design by you. We're not going to put this as you doing. It's like they did everything they possibly could to remove me from the conversation.
Okay.
And then months later, this project that I'd worked on reached the sort of highest points of highs, where they had recognized the very thing that I had designed. And they said, oh, who had designed that? And they're like, oh, well, we removed the name. We can't really tell you who it is. And they're like, no, who is it? They're like, oh, you know, Salah Groubi did it, et cetera, et cetera. And then that person said, you're not going to go to print, or you're not going to release this until you put her name in that. And it was like, so that goes back to the conversation about you will get what God decrees for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The amount of trials, the amount of tribulations, no matter how many people were stepping on the idea, like, you will not get this, you will not get this. Hek ija min fo.
Yeah.
Ija min fo. Shufi kif Allah bishtaghil.
100%. Subhanallah, it's reminding me, there's that quote, you see it all over social media.
Which one? Live, laugh, love?
Girl, never.
Love, laugh, live.
No. No, there's that quote on social media. I don't want to butcher it, but it's something along the lines of, if something is yours, even if it is between... No, what was it? Oh, wait, it's some... Bismillah, let me not butcher this. It's something along the lines, if something is yours, even if it is between two mountains, God will bring it.
Ala bab baytik. Ala bab
baytik. And if it is not yours, hatta law bayn al-shiftain, between your lips, you will not... And look at how close it is.
Oh, yeah.
You still won't be able to grasp it and hold on to it. And I think people really need to take a minute just to process and marinate in what that means.
But isn't that just surrender? This is guys. Thank you very much.
I think that's our episode.
That's what we're done.
But
think about it, because like, you know how you were saying like, oh, I have people sliding in the DMs talking to me about, you know, accountability. How do I take accountability?
Yeah.
I get people sliding into my DMs being like, how do I surrender? And I'm like, okay, how do I explain this without making it seem that it is as simple as submitting to a higher power, a higher deity, God, the divine, that you know that it's not in your hands. It is in the creator's hands. So anything that you do, if this is meant for me, great. If this is not meant for me, great. And the more that you attach onto certain things, like, oh, I really want to go there. I want to go to this country. I really want to, like, the flights are canceled. You can't book, blah, blah, blah. You're not meant to go there. The second you let go, khalas, khalas, bi yajil andak. Whatever was intended and was, because everything is for khair. Yeah. Everything, even the bad is for khair.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. وَعَسَ أَن تَكْرُوا شَيْءٌ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Because my mom used to always say something to me as a kid, and I never, you know, fully grasped it until one day I was like, oh. She would always say, كل الأمور تعمل للخير أو تفعل للخير, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Butchered it, but it is what it is. Which means everything is working towards good. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard concept to grasp. Yes. Because you could, God forbid, lose a parent, lose a job, get into an accident, miss a flight that you paid all your savings exactly. on, right? And just be like, how is this good? How is this fair? Mm-hmm. But subhanAllah, everything... It's just a change in perspective. It's just a little switch, you know? And then if you just take a second to realize that despite all odds, you made it to where you are today. Mm-hmm. Because it is true. If you think your story is sad, there's a million sadder stories. And if you think your story is happy, there's a million happier stories, exactly. you know? And it just takes not putting so much weight on yourself and who you are. Mm-hmm. And it's a fine line because subhanAllah will tell you that you are made in God's eye. You know what I mean? So you're just... You're amazing. If God took the time to put you on this earth, that in itself is a miracle. Mm-hmm. But then we'll also say, don't give yourself that much weight. Don't take it too seriously. You know what I mean? There's always someone better. There's always someone luckier. There's always, and it's just if you're able to fine tune that and balance those two, then you've hit like that sweet spot in that jackpot. But it's a hard,
it really
it's a tightrope. It's walking a tightrope.
Yes, or as I like to say, walking a line, fine line between order and chaos.
Yeah,
I feel like it definitely is. And I wanted to touch base on something that you just said about your mum's, what your mum said about, you know, like, Allah Aynkom, like you guys, they have so many high standards.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you define your standards? And why do you think it's something that you constantly have to justify or explain? Because I'm sure you have friends that come up to you and be like, oh, come on, Layla, like just, your standards are way too high. You have way too many expectations. Like, khalas.
Yeah, those people aren't in my life anymore.
Exactly. But elaborate, explain to the masses that...
I don't feel the need to justify. I used to, especially it's a really sad thing, especially in the Muslim community, when you're first refinding your relationship with God, you have to kind of justify why you even deserve to have a relationship with God. It's a very, very sad corner they push you into. But I don't have that anymore. God's not yours. Mm-hmm. So y'all can relax with that. But...
You and I both kind of come from very similar backgrounds where we've had, like, I would like to think, very kind of liberal ways of looking at religion, very free, very open, and then going sliding outwards, but then sliding back in.
Yeah.
And what I find really interesting is that personally, and I don't know how you feel about this, but it's like the second that I really started to take religion seriously and to be comfortable and okay and self-identifying with what I believe in, that's when everything started looking up.
Yeah.
That's when everything started to shift. And it's like, when I now look at people that I have really big disagreements with, really, like, we are on polar ends of the spectrum. It's because they don't have God. Yeah. They don't have God in their lives.
Of course.
And it's like they will be so attached to the worldliness and the worldly qualities. So they'll always come out and be like, I don't know why this is this. Or I don't know why that happened to me. Or why did I not get this promotion of whatnot? And if you're a person that has no way of self-reflecting when it comes to religion and understanding that there is a higher power, and if you do not believe in anything greater than yourself, you will never be anything greater than yourself.
Of course.
I always sit there and I think, like, I wonder if this person actually had God in their lives, how differently their perspective would shift, how differently they would look at things. So do you feel like maybe, I don't know if this is the case, that the people sometimes that listen to you, they are quick to kind of throw out the reasons, the justifications, etc. It's because they don't have God or they're still searching for it?
I'm not entirely sure, but from what I've observed, subhanAllah, even when you were saying if they find God, I was about to tell you, but there are a lot of people who have claimed to find God, but then they, astaghfirullah, put God in a box of their own limitations. Mm-hmm. So God is only capable of doing what my life seems to be at the moment. Mm-hmm. So if I don't have the job that I've been dreaming of or the amount of money that I've been dreaming of, it's because خلص. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And God can't give me more. It's insane to watch how people will morph God into what their current reality is.
Because it's
and
easier. And
their current reality, yeah, of course
it's easier. It's easier to digest that.
Actually, I take it back. I don't want to say, of course, it's easier. What I always say is pick your heart.
Yes,
pick
but...
your heart. You're living a pretty miserable life when you're complaining like that. And when you make God, astaghfirullah, something so small because you are small.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Pick your heart. But you think it wasn't hard to let go and let God? You think that wasn't the hardest thing I've ever had to do?
Of course.
When the first time I ever did it, hell yeah. It is now the easiest thing to do. And when I tell you pick your heart, I don't have a heart to pick anymore. Everything's just looking great.
Yeah, but then...
because when, I see God in everything.
But when you go back to, for example, where you were, so there are people that are going to be listening to you being like, I don't know where to start. I don't know where my direction is. I don't know how to pick myself back up. And a lot of it comes from... and maybe this is something that your listeners will relate to. It's this idea where when you do so much bad or you do so much wrong, you're like, I am not worthy of God's forgiveness. It's like when I go down this path of like being like, well, okay, if I'm going to start praying or if I'm going to start believing, I don't feel that God will forgive me. I don't feel like there is the mercy of God that's going to be on my side. And it's like, but if you believe that, that means you still believe that there is mercy because you fear that the shame and the guilt that you carry, there's still just a chink in that armor that's able to access. And I think that it's like, if you don't believe, like God is the most merciful. Amen. God is the most merciful. Amen. And so when we are sitting here going like, oh, you know, I went to the clubs, I had that party, I, you know, slept with like 20,000 women at I don't know where. If you think that God's not going to forgive you for that, then first of all, you can't forgive yourself. But then also it's like, then who do you think God is?
Yeah.
Who do you think God is if God's not going to forgive you?
Me, but me. It's very interesting. I had a friend ask me about this, that when she found God again, certain things where she was questioning and asking me, I don't know if God's going to forgive me for this. She didn't even go into the details. And honest to God, I don't need to know the details.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, who said this? I need to remember who said this, that God is everything you think he is. Or if you think of God as a villain, it's because you're a villain. Or if you think of God, who said this? It's a thing.
Do you want me to Google it?
No. No, there's no need. I will find it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I love how we started this conversation.
About relationships. About relationships. And now we're like,
we're now into God. But they are one and the same. You know?
No, but they are. But I think it was the 40 rules of love. I got it. It was the 40 rules of love. That one of the rules is that God is an exact mirror of you. If you think of God as... if you are filled with love, then you see God as love.
Isn't it the Secrets of the Divine Love?
No, it was 40 Rules of Love. Okay. Actually, it could be in Secrets of Divine Love.
That sounds familiar. I think maybe. Okay,
it could be. But it's interesting to see that people will always explain and think of God fully. It is just a mirror of themselves. It's mm-hmm. insane. I used to think God was this big, scary creature and I wasn't even worthy of getting down on my knees to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely used to think that. I've always wanted a relationship with God, but because society had deemed me a pariah,
mm-hmm.
then I thought then God had deemed me a pariah. That's mm-hmm. how insane they make you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I yeah. mean? And then once I awoke to that and then realized God was nothing but love and a love I could not even begin to fathom no matter how hard I tried.
Mm-hmm.
My life is filled with love.
Mm-hmm.
I only ever receive love. And, mm-hmm. and it's very easy to cut off people that don't want to give me love mm-hmm. because I find myself worthy of love mm-hmm. because I see my God sees me as worthy of love. And mm-hmm. it's very interesting that once the way you view God is a mirror of your life,
mm-hmm.
truly.
Mm-hmm.
If you think God's a big bad wolf, your life is just a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you think God is just a beautiful, forgiving, amazing, merciful, but also warrior at your side that is 100% on your team rooting yes. for you. Everything in your life is that. I have people who just want to come serve me, and I mean it in the best of ways. Like mm-hmm. it's a mutual serving
thing, of course.
You know what I mean? And it's just when I changed my view of God, it is insane.
Yes.
I can't even stress it enough. And it starts and ends with you.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And I think it's interesting that you should say that, because when we talk about those people who have God in their heart or those people who are trying to be open and receptive to receiving God as however big or however small it is. I find the people that identify as atheist or agnostic, or they're like you know, they don't believe in God and they kind of want to dance around the idea. They are absolutely terrified of death.
You've said this to me
before. Every single one of them. Yeah, there is, without fail, without fail. Like, if I meet somebody who's like, yeah, I don't believe in God, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I have a question to ask you. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, are you afraid of death? They're like, oh, terrified, terrified of death. And I'm like, why? So, because there's nothing at the after that. It goes black and we don't see anything. I'm like, you're terrified of death because there is something with it, like intrinsically built within your psyche of the unknown. And you are so attached to control and knowing everything around you that you believe everything that you see. You need tangible evidence to secure things. And it's like, well, no, if you have God in your life, that is the polar opposite. You don't need the tangibility. You see it manifested in things that we can't even begin to see in the physical world.
Yeah. I'll take it a step further. I think it's...
Take it a step further.
I think it's the one...
You do it. You say it. You preach it.
The ones you've asked who have said they are terrified, I'll actually give them some credit for being somewhat self-actualized. Mm-hmm. The ones I've spoken to who are atheists, they're like, no, I'm not terrified of death. It just ends. It's just black after that.
Really? That's so fascinating.
Yeah. And subhanAllah, my dad told me a story about there was a man who was an atheist and he spent his whole life just trying to debunk the existence of God. Now, the first question is, why are you so obsessed with something you don't even think exists? Mm-hmm. So that there's that. And number two is that when he was on his deathbed, before his last breath, he went into this fear and his eyes just were shocked open. And he said, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, something's wrong. I'm sorry. I was very wrong. Mm-hmm. And that was the last thing he said before he died.
Yeah.
And you will find that most people who are atheists have a deep need to talk about God all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They are consumed with it. It's like their toxic boyfriend that they can't get rid of, you know?
No, that's a really interesting perspective.
But actually, they're the toxic one. Because he's just there.
Yeah.
He hasn't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you're just denying his existence, but also, astaghfirullah, really speaking ill of him most of the time, making fun of the people who believe in him. Mm-hmm. And it's all you can talk about. It consumes your every waking thought. Mm-hmm. It is the bane of your existence.
Because they need to rationalize. They need to either rationalize or pathologize. Like when they have something that happens to them that they go down, oh, it's just coincidence. Oh, it's a serendipitous moment. Oh, that just happened because it just happened. Really?
Life doesn't just happen to you.
Really, Janice?
But that's my point. If I don't care about someone who's been in my life, an ex-friend or whatever, I never bring them up. Mm-hmm. They don't exist. They literally cease to exist.
Mm.
But atheists bring up God every second of the day, especially in the arrogant and mocking tone of like, oh, you're God. Yeah, malu my God. Khair inshallah, yalla.
Yeah. Just wait. Your God is going to be my God. You're going to have God friends. But it's like, no, but it is, it's fascinating. But I feel like also, I mean, we could dive into this for the entire episode. We need to get back into relationships. We need to course correct.
Okay. I don't even know, what time is it? Do we have 20 minutes? Okay. This is going to be about relationships.
Yeah, literally relationships. Actually, wait, what did we say that we were going to chat about?
We have the standards and you asked me a question. Yes. You asked me a question about...
See, we deflect
it. I know. But I told you when you and I talk, it would go into a million directions.
All right. What did you say?
I know. I said. Une question.
Ouais. C'est quoi?
C'était à propos de les gens qui
quoi?
Merde. Yeah. Okay.
Deux secondes. No. I forgot it. Wait, hold on.
Can we just go into our standards?
Okay.
Because we were saying you and I are two single gals.
Yeah, we are single gals. See, we're repeating. We're just really getting it. Yeah.
We need to get into this because...
Single Pringles.
But actually what we said, this comes full circle. Mm-hmm. Because you know how we were just saying the pain of becoming this self-actualized.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reason I stand by my standards. And I'm not delulu enough to think I deserve the world when I've done... nothing to deserve it.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
As a woman, I have truly, truly, I am trying my absolute best to be what God intended me to be.
Mm-hmm.
Truly.
You know what I mean? Honest, just, all of those qualities.
There are certain women in Islam, like Sitna Khadija and Sitna Fatima Zahra, that I genuinely look up to as women, like truly. Bro, I cry if I even mention them. I've cried on Sheen's podcast. I've cried on yours.
Let's get some tears.
I have cried. But... you did. There was a question you asked me that this was going to be the answer of what do I do to I just try to be the best Muslim that I can be, truly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a million and one women in our history and men in our history and the kind of women they liked and the kind of men that they liked that is a direct guide and tool for me to be the best version of myself that I can be through the lens of Islam and with God by my side. So my standards are there for a solid reason. I won't waver. I don't care enough to waver. Mm-hmm. Because the immediate consequence of wavering mm-hmm. is a lot of pain mm-hmm. and a lot of then self-flagellance, because then mm-hmm. I'm gonna be like, well, you knew better mm-hmm. why this time, what, look at what happens when you let go and you waver with your standards and mm-hmm. what you know to be true mm-hmm. and it's not an ego thing, and this is where I've learned the difference, is that it's not an ego thing. It's I just look at, is this what God would like for me mm-hmm. is this what God deemed acceptable and unacceptable mm-hmm. and if I waver when I know it's against what God deemed acceptable and unacceptable mm-hmm. I always lose.
And
every time.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I find it so interesting that when you put that logic and rationale forward, that you will have people that will come to you being like, no, I disagree with you. That's not the way that I want to live my life. And I
disagreed with me too.
Yes, but this is the thing. Like we are susceptible to change. We can make statements and then disagree with them years later.
Of course.
We can have two realities that do exist. And this goes back to conversations you and I have about, for example, toxic masculinity versus toxic femininity. You can be in a situation and circumstance where there is an inherently horrible person and they happen to be a woman, but there can be an inherently horrible person that happens to be a man. Mm-hmm. And course correcting women and calling women out does not make you a misogynist.
No, it doesn't.
And it also doesn't make you a woman hater. And it also doesn't make you somebody who becomes like a misogynist apologist or whatever the case may be. And I find this really problematic that we live in a day and age where if someone does something horrible to you and you call them out and you say that it just so happens to have a pattern of behavior with men or with women, people go, no, we're saints. Yeah, we don't do anything wrong. We're perfect. And who are you to call us out?
Yeah.
If you don't do that, if you don't take a sister to the side and call her out for something, or you don't take people that are embodiment of womanhood and say that like, hey, you messed this up and you used womanhood as a way to justify your behavior.
But you see, this is why I don't focus on these people anymore, because I swear the few DMs that I get of girls saying, you called me out on things I did not want to be called out mm-hmm. on. You humbled me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's what I do. That's mm-hmm. why I do this. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because I was them. Mm-hmm. So this isn't
we
even
drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, this isn't
the
even me speaking drunk from my high horse. Yeah. This is like, yo, I was you.
Yeah.
I was rock bottom, mm-hmm. you know, with no one to blame but myself, and best thing that's ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. But with what you're saying, I fully agree, and I've said this before. It is strictly because I love women mm-hmm. that I do this.
Yes, and this is the thing that blows my mind. You think I had this conversation because I hate women?
No.
You think I live in a vacuum where I don't have amazing female role models in my life, and I come from a very strong matriarchal line? And I advocate for the matriarchal systems that we have inherited in the very fiber of our DNA.
Yeah.
Like, babe, if you did something horrible, I'm going to call you out on it.
Yeah. So that's exactly my point. It's the reason I do what I do and we do what we do. It's strictly because of my love for women and my love for men mm-hmm. and my love for humanity and my love for Islam and mm-hmm. wanting people to really see the beauty of what it has to offer, because men and women can be beautiful,
yes.
but they can also be horrible.
Yes.
And I will call you out regardless of which gender you are, because, hey, guess what? We're Muslim and your whole we can't talk about either one mm-hmm. makes no sense to me.
Also, the reactions of certain things that we've experienced, you think that it just happened in a vacuum? Like if, for example, second wave, third wave, fourth wave, fifth wave, sixth wave, whatever feminism.
I hate first wave feminism, yes. but that's just me.
Yeah, no, you and I have had conversations about this. But you think that happened in a vacuum?
No, of course not.
Every action has a reaction. What part were they accountable for? What part were you accountable for? Things don't happen in a vacuum. And I think that like the second you start to look at yourself and say, it's the same logic that I had to say, like, and I've said this on multiple occasions, you don't have to boy bash to be considered a feminist. You don't have to pull men down in order to raise women up. We have to love women and we have to love men. We like if you have a person that's out there and being like, you know, oh, you know, my, like, this man was really misogynistic. It's up to the men to course correct the other men when they do something wrong. Yeah, but it's also women have to course correct the men when they do something wrong. Yeah. It's not just in this isolated situation.
I agree. I do agree. I in an ideal world, even though we're going downhill, I would love for the men to be leaders. And I would love for the women to have a little bit more leeway to be the Lulu, because that's what God intended.
Yeah, it's what God intended.
My dad explained it to me, and it was a hard pill for me to swallow, but I have to agree with him. Mm-hmm. There is a reason God created women with the inability to take accountability a lot of the time. It's how they're meant to be. It's too much on their soul. Mm-hmm. And men are supposed to be like, happy wife, happy life. Mm. You know what I mean? But alhamdulillah, we have men who are...
Say it to the raging feminists.
We have men now.
You want to know something funny, and this is something that you and I have spoken about in great detail. When we talk about raging feminists that kind of come out and being like,
with their pitchforks, I always say it.
Yeah, yeah, literally. What I find so funny is that when I look at these women, I'm like, you and I are the freaking same. We are both working really hard. We both lead with our masculine energy. We both had to do this for survival. We both hashtag boss babe. I know. I just chundered like myself. But we're both of the same cloth. But why is it that you're on one side of the coin and I'm on the other side of the coin? It's because I've come to the realization that this old manufactured simulation is a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie to put you in a box that you don't belong in. So you take yourself out of the box. You want to lead with masculinity? Lead with masculinity. But don't abandon your femininity. You think that we want to do this? You think you and I want to sit there and lead the charge all day? Girl, we is tired. We need a break. It's tiring.
I'm tired. Ugh, there's eyeliner on my finger. I will say one thing, and this is the only thing I will say about this, because I've had comments of, Layla, you've mentioned you don't like feminism and the history of it. You should do a full episode about it. I won't. But I will say, But I will say one thing. Okay, to the
okay, clench your throat. Clench your throat.
Feminists and their hypocrisy and the pitchforks, okay? But there is a very valid reason why I dislike feminism. And that is because I actually studied history and the correct history that they won't teach you in schools or on MTV Cribs, right? If you go into first wave feminism, number one, there's two women who are horrible. One of them is Margaret Sanger, I think, who's the creator of Planned Parenthood. And then the other one is Emma or Ellie something. And they are horrible, horrible people who were in cahoots with white men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To get rid of black communities, African-American communities. That was their one and only motivation. It was what they worshipped. It was what they lived, breathed, and ate for. Okay.
And it doesn't make you misogynistic to call them out.
No, it doesn't. And then it trickled down, and they, you know, just because you paint a red ball blue doesn't make it not a red ball. It's a red ball underneath it. You can throw all the glitter you want at it. It's still not what you think it is. Mm-hmm. And it's insane to me that they destroyed so many houses. They killed millions of babies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they just destroyed communities that thrived under the worst of oppressions, because even during Jim Crow, black communities were thriving. Then this is what we are. I say this about Palestinians as well. Despite all the oppression and the worst of the worst, we still make it out on top, because this is what happens when God is on your side. But I digress. And then people have the audacity to get on my comments and say feminism is the reason I have a podcast. So this is the first time and last time I will say, y'all can suck it with your feminism. Islam is the reason I have a podcast. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing I will say about it. I don't know what could be more hypocritical. You take all of this and all of our pain and suffering and you sit back and you want to give feminism the credit that was basically created by white men and women that wanted to destroy people they just didn't like. It's just that simple. People mm-hmm. that they deemed less worthy than them.
Mm-hmm.
People that didn't deserve to live. Mm-hmm. That's insane to me. You want to sit back and give them the credit for why we as women get to even breathe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what could be more oppressive and mm-hmm. what could be more hypocritical.
Absolutely.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, the whole point is that you won't get it. And I think that that's where we that's where we draw the line.
You're not going to get it.
Yeah, it's just, just not going to get it. And it's really frustrating, because it's like, you can have open and honest conversations with feminists when they want to self-identify as such. But it's like, where was your great-grandmother? Was she a feminist? Was she like, she was a woman existing, surviving as her soul entity in her divine essence, following the teachings of God, following the teachings of the community, following in the rootedness of her indigeneity.
Yeah.
Did you need like a person to like... Someone said in the comment section, which I was like, which blew my mind. They were like, feminism gave us a voice to speak on something. I'm like, why did someone have to give you a voice? You have a voice.
Yeah, God gave you a voice. That's my point.
Not just that, but it's just like, who took it? Who said that you had permission? And someone was like, oh yeah, you have, they like, we have permission now to be, I was like, who did you get permission from? who did, you know? Like, that's the thing that blows my mind. Like, the second you remove the antithesis of the thing that you're just discussing, it's like, it blows your mind. It's like that meme where it's like, whoa, blow. Yeah. So I would urge those people that are so quick to respond and be like, that's not what I believe. That's not true. This is my... Sit with yourself and think to yourself, okay, why are these conversations coming out the way that they are?
I will say one thing about your video that got deleted. So basically Sarah posted a video just saying that female friendships are the worst, okay?
It got deleted after I was suspended.
And then she got her account back and then that video got deleted. And a lot of the comments were saying, this is true. A lot of the comments were also saying, it is true, but also female friendships can be amazing. But then most of the comments were like, you're the problem. Female friendships are amazing. I feel sorry for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, all right, everyone, this is what I was about to comment this and I didn't. And I was about to say, yeah, subhanAllah, everyone's a feminist until, you know, someone says something they don't agree with. That's insane to me. So they'll tell you feminism is about the availability of choice and the ability for us to have, like you said, a voice and a space to be who we need to be. You had shitty female experiences.
Yeah.
I've had...
And they were female experiences.
I've had horrible female experiences. Mm-hmm. Some of the most vicious people in my life towards me have been women.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to turn me into a pariah, tried to drag me through the dirt. And it's just a matter of fact. Does that mean all women are horrible? No. But this is a reality. Mm-hmm. It is a thing that millions of women go through.
Mm-hmm.
But because, astaghfirullah, we can't say anything about women. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you and I are internalized misogyny and pick me girls. And, mm-hmm. you know, did he pick you yet, boo-boo? No, we're single. He didn't. Just putting it out there. But...
And that's the thing that blows my mind. They'll take that
away from you. You can't say anything that I don't believe in. If you've had amazing female friendships, bravo, good for you.
Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. And that's what I said in my comment, because I was like, I'm going to address this, especially the people that like...
But it's mostly a lie. If you go take a look behind the curtain, they trash talk each other. They drag each other through hell. بغارو من بعض. It's the way of life. It's very rare, because I won't even say this just about women. It's very rare nowadays to find a genuine friend, a genuine soul who wants the best for you
mm-hmm.
without any conditions. It's not a thing.
Exactly. It's not a thing. And also I find it really interesting whenever there's comments that are about your specific lived, personal, unique, intrinsically, innately part of who you are. Very real, very personal, very nuanced experience.
No, you didn't go through that. No.
Yeah, yeah. And then someone will come in being like, you didn't go through that. I'm going to invalidate it. And also like, I had amazing time. I have amazing people.
I'm talking about you.
Literally. It's not about you, boo. It's and to think, as you said, going back to God or going back to understanding the way that we live life or just basically how we move through this world in general, it's a hard journey.
Yeah.
You don't think that there was a lot of sacrifices that had to go along the way. You don't think that there was a lot of really difficult decisions that had to be made. You don't think that you or me have been through the dirt and back and have sacrificed so much. Obviously people who know me, but like, you know, and we don't play victims, so we don't put that online. And that's what I find so funny when someone's
trauma dump.
Oh my God. Like, there are people that are just like, how are you so okay with what happened? Or how are you this? And I'm like, because I don't victimize myself. But boo, baby boo.
Baby girl, boo boo.
Baby boo boo boo. You will not even know the half of what I've experienced.
Yeah.
You will not even know surface level. It is probably something that maybe you have experienced yourself, maybe to the depths of it, maybe not. But who are you to come in and tell me that what I'm experience is invalid because you want to be rah-rah-rah for every single woman on the... And the people that say it, which I find so funny, and I know you're watching, they are people I know have been in really difficult female friendships.
Babe, of course.
So like
I don't know a girl Lee who has Mathers. A fault with a girl in high school. I know. It's just
no, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
It's an occupational hazard. It's part of it.
No, it doesn't happen.
And we don't have to make it bigger than thou. That means all women are horrible. Mm. It's just a thing. And the reason we're shedding light on it is to maybe try to avoid them, maybe try to minimize it, yeah. fix it,
help and girls in high school. Understand why people go into the victim mentality. Because guess what, people? Women are notorious for placing themselves in the role of victim.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like women will, and it's because of survival, they need to entrench themselves in victimhood because it gives them space and leeway to justify their behavior and warrant their behavior against somebody else. Yeah. Like, you don't think that someone sat down and thought, there's a pattern of behavior I see there. Like, wonder why this is the case. But if you haven't experienced that, great job, Janice. I'm so happy for you. You've lived in this utopia. Alhamdulillah. Like Elf Mabruk to your utopia, you know?
I just want to say something before I forget, because you said that you and I don't play victim and we don't trauma dump. Mm-hmm. I think this is an important point to touch on. I'll just touch on it briefly. Tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. But it's something I actually learned from my dad. Mm-hmm. There's a very, very, very strong ingrained reason in my brain why I refuse to play victim and why I will, inshallah, by the grace of God, never trauma dump. I remember coming home as a teenager once and crying to my dad, tears of a rumor that I had heard about myself that was just factually untrue and something that really scarred me. It hurt so much, especially when you're young and you have no self-confidence and you're suddenly turned into a social pariah. It broke me. It did. And he just looked at me. No sadness, no nothing, you know? And I loved that. He didn't pity me like, ya maskina, ya binti. Mm. It was just more of, if they said worse about the Rasul alayhi salatu salam, they say worse about God. You are honored to go through 5% of what they go through. And it wasn't not validating my feelings. It was just changing the perspective. Yeah. And it's a subtle change. Mm. And I really took a second and I was like, these are my battle scars.
Yeah.
And I didn't get angry like, you're not validating what I'm going through, because it's just factually true. Mm-hmm. They say worse about God. There is nothing you could say about me that has not been said about God and the Rasul alayhi salatu salam. Amazing, and if I get to go through this world and experience what they've experienced and come out all the better for it and closer to them for it, then bring it my way any day. Alhamdulillah, khairu barakah. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's just a change in perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's not about, don't validate my feelings. Stop putting weight on what doesn't matter and shine light on what matters, what will better you, what will bring you out of this slump. It's just, I don't know how many other ways I can say it. It's so important.
I agree with you. And it's funny that you have that story. I have something similar that literally happened just the other day, because obviously once the video was suspended and then it's no longer there, a woman who I don't know sent me a voice note on social media and basically said, I've been following you for a really long time and I really appreciate your content. And I'm assuming that she's a revert. I'm just by the conversation. So I'm sorry if you're not, but this is what I assumed. And everything that she was speaking about was through the lens of God. So she was like, I pray to God istikhara that I would like that they bring me a sign to understand my experiences with such and such and such. And then subhanAllah, the first video I saw was your video and like it kind of disappeared, but I saw your video and that gave me so much perspective on the types of relationships that I have with women or the types of relationship that I'm trying to go. And this was coming from somebody who could see it purely from the perspective of like, this was information that was brought to you. It's not about you. It's not about your experience, but I'm able to extrapolate. I'm able to see it. And it's just like, and for me, it was refreshing as well, because it was just like the same way that God had given her this direction to look at this, she had reminded me that what I was doing was through the best of intentions, and I did not have malice in my heart, and I did not do it with an intention to dismay or dissuade.
I think you're like the least nefarious person I know.
True. Girl.
You, and this is, by the way, I think you're one of the strongest people I know. Aww, I think thanks. You're very confident in what you like and don't like in your thought process, and you didn't come to this lightly. Like,
right back at you, know, girl.
But so and I say this with, you can come off as tough and but I love it. I appreciate it because I know where it came from. Mm-hmm. I know it's not just coming from ego. I know it's coming from, she's been, and I don't even know most of your story, mind you, but I can just, خلص, you know what I mean?
Literally.
I can tell it's that this girl has been through hell and back. There's a reason she thinks this way. Mm-hmm. And it's not an ego thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, but also I'll end it with one thing. My mom, مرات دائما بتقولي, she's like, انكريزاتك وشدير ركب.
بالضبط.
انكريزاتك means deny your ego.
Yeah.
Again, if you want to kill something, you starve it. Starve your ego for the love of God. وشدي الركب, it means ما بحبش الركب الراخية. She's always like, I don't like this faffy attitude.
Yeah, literally.
Life is tough. Keep
your bootstraps.
Yeah.
Pick up those bootstraps.
انكرزاتك وشدي الركب. Wallahi, these two things will change your
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
Gotta keep it moving.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for the podcast. Thank you for having me.
You're coming again, girl. Yeah, we're not even, girl. By the way, we wanted to discuss relationships. This was just God. This episode is going to be called, like, what is God?
Yes, and then in relationships. And then we'll just talk, like, anything. Anything that people want to talk about, we'll talk about.
Okay. Yeah, I loved having you. We're going to go to Kokoro.
We are.
Kokoro, spot.
Yes. Yeah. Literally.
We need to have literally. It's the one mukbang episode I'll do if we do an episode just eating Kokoro. It's the one I'll do. It's the only one I'll do.
Where's Tamir? Where's, like...
Anyway, thank you for having me.
thank you
for being here.
Thank you for having the thing that you have for me when we have it.
That.
Yeah.
That. And then let us know. I can't do it every time. I'm like, let me know what you think in the comments. Actually, let us know what you think. Sarah will definitely be back. And then this was lovely. I really enjoyed it. I
really enjoyed it too.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Done. Woo.